Hello, everyone, and welcome to our podcast called Hypnotica with Chantel and Melissa. We are passionate about hypnotherapy and writing erotica. And in this episode, we will be answering the question, why is writing erotica so taboo? So a little bit of background about the two of us. We've exchanged services with each other starting like in 2016, and we don't really know that much background on each other. So we figured we would just take everyone along for the ride as we ask each other the questions that we're dying to know. So my first question is, how did you get started with writing erotica? How did it become your niche?
Oh my goodness, y'all, it's been 15 years at this point. So I met a man. And yes, we had such an amazing, intense connection that felt otherworldly. I was like, who is this? Like, just from like day one. And I remember at the time I was living in Atlanta, and I remember walking down the street one day. I was walking to get coffee, and the idea to write a sexy story for him about us like popped into my brain. And I've been a writer my whole life, but it did, like, to write this subject matter, especially growing up in like the conservative South, felt really scary to me. But it got so loud that I did it, and I loved it, and then I sent it, handwrote it, and sent it in the mail to him, and he loved it, and he said, "You're so good at this. You should publish this. You should like pursue this." And I was like, no, because what will my family think? Like, that was like my first thought of like, I can't be like open and out with this. But I continued to write for him, and it continued to feel really good. And it was such an interesting exploration of our connection. It felt like such a gift to him. And I got to practice writing in a way that felt really new to me. I had never written that way before. And it felt really easy. I noticed it was flowing really easily and really well. So not too long after I started writing the spicy things, he passed away in a car accident. So yeah, I spent a lot of time writing about grief. So everything shifted from sex to grief. And for the same reasons, right? Like, to explore what that felt like to me and explore what loss was, and also explore like, who was I now going to be? And I remember thinking like, we were so young. And so I was like, you know, this is my one life. This is my one life. So who cares what people think when it comes to writing the things that I actually want to write? So when it felt good to me, this was about 6 months after he passed away, I started writing erotica again, but I wrote it for me. It would just, it's similar thing where like this, the ideas would just download into my brain. I'd be out and about and have an idea or see a person or have a thought and then write the story and start to explore it. So started doing that. I moved to Chicago, and then I started telling people. So and I had to be like really slow and really careful about telling people for my own nervous system, because I was still feeling really shy about it. And I wanted to tell people that I trusted or people that I knew would support me. And so I did. And it was very well received. I felt very loved. So I'm like, okay, this is like building the muscle of like, I can do this. This is something that I can share. And then I had a piece published online. And so I told Facebook about it, like knowing that my family is on Facebook. And I was like, there's a 50% chance that they'll hear this or they'll see this. And they did. It absolutely happened. And I was shamed pretty hard for it. So it was a really like dark time. because it threatens my relationship with my family. Everything that I feared was going to happen totally happened. And because I had developed the strength and the resiliency to like slowly expand into this, I learned what it was to start to hold myself in that and hold myself in my triggers and still choose to do the thing, like share the things. So as my confidence grew, I had more things published. I ended up joining a couple of like erotica writing contest. And then I started reading my work like on stages, like stuff I never thought I would do, like on a stage with a microphone, like reading the work. And then I moved to Seattle and I got work accepted in the 2016 and the 2023 Seattle Erotic Art Festival. And it was just such a privilege to be a part of that, to have my work in print, to like read on the stage to all the people. And in between 2016 and now, I decided to become a sex coach. And so I teach people to utilize writing to help them heal their sexual shame. And so like, that's the thing now. That's like what we do now.
That is amazing. I love that story. Like as you were telling the story, I could like see it through the filters of my life. You know, obviously I have different details, but I have a grief story too. I lost my two siblings, one in 2015, one in 2016. So I know what it's like to walk through that valley. And I had a similar outcome with the learning, like after, you know, several months of deep grief, the realization too, this is my one life. What am I going to do with it? What do I really want? What am I passionate about? And pretty much just gave myself permission to do what I wanted to do. And so it is a big thing to, you know, worry about what will the family say? You know, what will my circle of friends or what will my Facebook friends or my relatives, like what will everybody say, right? So like I left my husband and I, you know, dated a bit and then I found a new guy. And yeah, there was a lot of very scary things, right? Like you feel the fear, but you do it anyway. It's basically, I felt that I was giving myself permission to choose what I preferred in life versus, you know, how we were raised just growing up trying to please everybody. So yeah, no, I just really, really love your story and how, like your nervous system had to get used to, you know, sharing those kinds of personal, intimate, you know, things about yourself. Mm-hmm. And like, I've never really, like, I love the idea of talking about the subject, even with my kids, you know, like it wasn't a taboo subject in my household with my kids. They're now 17, 22, and 23. So yeah, a lot of parents, and I don't shame anybody for doing this, feel awkward talking about it with their kids. So that's been a bit of a journey too. Yeah, but I just really, I am excited about being authentic in my expression. And I'm excited about sharing with the people in my circle or whoever this recording touches, the things that I've learned in life, even if they are, you know, personal or private. I'm not sharing other people's details. I'm just showing, or I'm just going to share like my personal learnings. And there, I feel like there has to be a lot more education around the subject and how everyone can have pleasure, not just certain people. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing I really want to like drill in for everybody is what you were saying about the permission, like giving yourself permission. And if you've grown up in an environment where you're shamed for your sexual expression, or shamed for your desire, it's so hard to write that permission slip yourself. and be like, ooh, oh no, I get this. I get to have this. I choose this. I decide this and move in that direction instead of letting the shame pull you back. Cause it will, like in the beginning, I still get hung up with the shame stuff sometimes, but
mm-hmm. It's like a vulnerability hangover.
It is. Yes. Yes, absolutely. But you learn through that decision, through the nervous system regulation, through, and for me, that really comes down to writing, because writing feels so safe to me, that is how I learned to teach myself. Like, oh no, this is okay. Cause there's nobody here unless I share it with the internet, but like mm-hmm. nobody's here but me. And I can decide how I want to approach that or how I want to express that.
I love how the ideas came to you, you know, like just when you were out and about or, you know, doing random things. Like they don't just come when you sit down with a pen and paper, but like I find, like I try to write every day, and not because I have to, right? Like I do it because I love to write. I look forward to writing some erotica and just seeing what comes out. Like what I love most about writing is that it focuses my mind on one thing, instead of how the mind does what it does and just comes up with all the possibilities and thinks about all the things and just like squirrel, you know.
Yeah.
But writing, it's like, you know, this is what I'm doing and this is what I'm focused on. And really, it's, I feel, an art of focusing our attention on one thing at a time. Yes. And knowing that we can always choose to do that, we can choose to think about what we prefer. And when we're feeling something that we don't want to feel, we can choose to feel something else by refocusing our attention on what it is that we do want.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, definitely. That's like the thing with like actually handwriting things. Sometimes I'll handwrite my work because it's slower than me typing. And yeah, it does require all of the focus. So then
yep.
The brain squirrels are generally calm, generally
speaking. Yeah, it's like, well, I'll put a note over here and then I'll refocus, right? Because yes. Like, and in, it's like a meditation, right? Because in meditation too, you're focusing on your breath and then your mind goes squirrel, right? And you're just like, okay, let's put a pin in that. I'll put a sticky note there, yes. Come back to it later, refocus on the breath, right?
Definitely. Yes.
So getting back to our question of why, I'm going to ask you the question, why do you feel that writing erotica or erotica in general is so taboo?
It's funny because, yeah, speaking of meditation, I have, like, as we have been planning, like our first episode, I did meditate on that. I'm like, why is it? Why is this the thing? And what came through is reading it and writing it requires you to access your imagination in a much more vibrant way than like watching it. Because watching it, you can kind of space out, whatever. You're just like strictly doing like the visuals in front of you, instead of if you're reading it or writing it. If you're writing it, you're creating the visual. And if you're reading it, the visual, it's being handed to you, but you're still like, there's still a creative process going on. And mm-hmm. in that, because we're using our imagination, we're like really in the story. And because sex is such a highly charged subject, it can make us feel things. And if you're not used to feeling things.
Yeah, which a lot of us are. We're like, let's put right? that in a box. Not today. Exactly. Yeah.
It can feel very triggering. Like for some people, I mean, obviously the subject matter is like meant to turn you on, meant to stimulate you in some way. But if you are not comfortable with that, it can cause feelings of like wanting to lash out, of wanting to like ignore it, like I don't ever want to see it again, and can trigger like feelings of really deep shame. And if you don't have the tools to deal with that, then suddenly the subject matter is villainized, something that like the subject is the problem, instead of like, oh, what's going on for me right now, like mm-hmm. where is this shame coming for me right now? Mm-hmm. And it can come up, I'm feeling too, it can come up with like watching like steamy scenes in a TV show or a movie or something, it might make you squirm, might make you uncomfortable.
Like how our parents are like, cover your eyes or fast right? forward this part. God totally. Forbid you should see someone kiss.
Exactly. Yes. So like, yeah, if you aren't used to that, or it's making you feel a certain way, it can create like extra feelings. And so we don't want to necessarily villainize the subject matter. We want to be curious about our personal experience and like, why are we reacting this way? Why are we feeling this way? Instead of making the subject bad or wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like there's so many things in life that, because we think that we have to be good and right all the time, I feel like it's almost like a lie or a trick to get us, you know, into the mentality of lack or into the mentality of war, you know, or if we, or sacrifice, something has to be sacrificed because there's not enough, right? Like, I think those are all things that are lies that people believe that keep us enslaved. And I am very passionate about empowerment and about awareness. And I want to bring a lot of awareness to this subject because I feel like our sexual energy is our creative energy. And that I feel like that gets enslaved. Like if we make it taboo or bad, that it's like a lot of our creativity is kind of locked up and not accessible. But when we can, you know, learn that the expression, or even learn in our like our solo play or in our play with partners, where we can express, and like that it's not bad to receive or it's not bad to do all these things, then we can be more creative, not only in the bedroom but in life.
Yes. Oh my God. It's so true. It's also, yeah, I feel like I've been exploring that not only with writing, but with the energy I'm bringing to writing. And it's like, how do I bring that to life? Yeah. To my own self-expression. And then as I learn to embody that, how are we teaching other people to do that as well? Because it's so, the word empowering, it's so empowering.
Right?
To feel that. Yes.
Yeah. When I learned that it was okay to receive in the bedroom, where it was okay to even like in solo play to receive pleasure, where it wasn't like my job to perform or to make something happen, where, you know, it was like sort of a co-creation, where I don't know, I just had this this major transformation I felt, and gratitude too, like moving through the world with gratitude. I did that more when I felt gratitude during those times of play.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's such a correlation between the two, I find. So yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. The play and creativity and sexuality, yes, all goes together for sure. And you can explore that however you want to. It doesn't necessarily have to be through writing. It could be through dance, or yeah, through self-pleasure.
I love just like dance.
Right? Yes.
I love dancing in front of a mirror by myself. Yes. And like just touching myself and feeling myself, and just like, I'd never feel more alive than when I do that. And I move through the world differently when I dance. That's a, that's a quote by Sandra Bullock, but it's so true. If you dance a bit before you go out the door, you move through the world differently.
Yep. I have felt the same exact way. Yes. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel more connected to my body and less in my head, less in the brain squirrels. So
yeah. Yes. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to, as we give ourselves permission to, you know, feel and express, that it gives other people permission to do the same, that it doesn't become as taboo, you know, like that people can talk about it with their friends, and that people can just like, it's a natural part of life. Like, it's like our birthright. We came to Earth to feel all of the feelings, all the emotions, all of the sensations, like we came here to feel. So I understand that we have traumas and protective parts that don't allow us to feel. And I feel there's a lot of hope, you know, just looking back on my life and how much it's changed. There's definitely a lot of hope for healing those protective parts, you know, that can have addictions or that can be like super perfectionist parts, mm-hmm. you know. And like, I look forward to like discussing each of those protective parts with you on further future episodes.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. I feel like a lot, the protective parts, the addictive parts, the ashamed parts, the parts that we hide are due to suppressing this natural creative energy. Like, so, mm-hmm. But we don't know it because it's been shamed out of us for so long that it's just, I'm like hearing the word robotic. It's almost like we become robotic. We're on autopilot. And there's so much untapped energy for every single one of us. Like, I just view people mm-hmm. as tiny universes. I'm like, what's inside your universe? Let's go find it.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the attitude of curiosity and, you know, the value of creativity. I was mm-hmm. thinking when we were, you know, coming up with this idea of the podcast, what are our, you know, shared values? And I feel like creativity is definitely one of them. Respect yes. and freedom yes. and acceptance, you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're not alone in that. There's a lot of people who value those things and who really feel like, you know, the world is polarized, quite polarized at this point. But we can choose to do whatever we prefer. Like we can have a little bit of this belief on this side and a little bit of that mm-hmm. belief on that side. We can curate our experience. We don't have to just follow along with what a particular side says in order to be safe. We can be safe. In fact, I feel and I deeply believe that the safest we can be is when we pivot towards our preferences. One of my favorite affirmations to say is my preferences sustain me, because when we do that, when we pivot towards our preferences, we become not aligned with the things that are not for us. Like just automatically we're on a different like radio station. Like we magnetize things that we want, like more of what we, you know, what is for us. And mm-hmm. I feel like the more we can meditate, the more we can, you know, write erotica, focus our mind on the things we want. Like, it's like we're training our mind to work for us instead of us working for our mind, or getting so trapped in that panic, anxiety, you know, overthinking, perfectionist mindset. We can catch ourselves when we do it, which is like a daily thing, right? When we catch ourselves mm-hmm. overthinking, and we can realize and like feel empowered, and we can choose a thought that we prefer, right? Like yes. Amanda Flaker, I was listening to her the other day, and she was talking about, like, you know, everything has a spirit. You know, Marie Kondo with the magic art of tidying up her, you know, how she goes into a house and like talks to each item of clothing as if it's, you know, as if it has a spirit. But my main point that Amanda Flaker was saying that when you feel something you don't want to feel, you can recognize that, like, oh, hello, spirit of depression, you know, I don't prefer to feel you right now. So I'm going to ask you to leave. And I'm going to invite the spirit of encouragement to take its place. And then you're refocusing your thoughts on encouraging thoughts. But the whole thing is to focus on the world you want to create versus the worst case scenario thinking, you know, because we are so multifaceted in our imaginations, right? But the world that create is with our imagination. So the more we can think about and focus on what we do want, the more we're going to see that and create that in the world.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And that gets us out of the autopilot of overthinking or shame or worst case scenario. It's like, mm-hmm. when we notice that, we can, that's the moment, as soon as we notice it, that's the moment where we can decide, do I want to keep going down that road, or do I need to switch paths right now and start to practice the path we actually want to go down?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So is there anything else that you can think of on this question of why is erotica or writing erotica so taboo? Does anything else come up that we haven't touched on yet?
I'm hearing one more short thing. Do not yuck anybody's yum, and don't yuck your own yum.
Oh, what a great quote. That needs to go up on a yeah.
Yeah, like there's no room for that here. And I think a lot of times people too get really secretive about what they're consuming because of the fear of judgment. So judgment from other people, but also we judge ourselves. So if we're deathly afraid of other people judging us, it's usually because we're judging ourselves. So we are not
that
yucking.
So true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I find too, if, you know, if I find myself judging other people, I look at myself and it's just like, oh, I'm judging that in myself. So mm-hmm. it's really a reflection.
Yes. Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
And I mean, in my mind, the answer to that question of why is erotica so taboo, I really feel deep down that, like, underneath it all, that creative energy is sexual energy. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's why it's so taboo. Like, it's a way to keep people enslaved instead of empowered. And so my mm-hmm. highest intention is empowering myself and the masses, that we don't need to be enslaved anymore. We don't need people to tell us what's right and what's wrong. We can, you know, create new things in this world. We don't always mm-hmm. have to live by old traditions and old ways of life. Like, we were created as a birthright to enjoy this world, to enjoy our bodies, to enjoy each other. And mm-hmm. you know, who decided that it was all of a sudden wrong? You know,
right? Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely look forward to future episodes and explorations. Oh, and I was also going to mention, when you were talking about imagination and stories, like, that's totally on the hypnotherapy page. Yes. And hypnosis. It's all about imagination, all about stories.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, it's so important.
Well, that's all I have to say about that.
Yay! Yay! Well, please join us for next week's episode, where we are spilling the tea on why hypnotherapy is taboo. Bye, y'all.
Bye.